if you're really sensitive to certain situations, you become irrational.
Community radio
for the San Francisco music scene.
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.
Come over here. Let me hold you for a little while.
Good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. We kick things off this morning with Take That, timeless classic. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Jessica.
Good morning, Leah.
How's about you, Jess? How
you Thanks for tricking me into watching another thing about Take That.
Yeah. Today, we are talking about Dairy Girls, which is currently available. The first two seasons are currently available on Netflix, and I recommend that you go watch Dairy Girls post-haste. I've been recommending it to lots of people with 100% success. Everybody's a fan.
Yeah, it was hilarious. A++. I won't say I didn't understand any of it, yeah. But it did require subtitles and a lot of like context clues to decipher many turns of phrase that I've never heard before.
Yeah.
And I would not have understood at all if I had watched with subtitles.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So Derry Girls is about five girls in Derry in Northern Ireland.
Is it about five
girls? Four girls, one boy.
An honorary girl.
The wee little English fella. the wee English fella, not wee little. That's redundant. But so it's about, four girls and one guy living in Derry in the early 90s in mm-hmm. the backdrop of the Troubles, as they're euphemistically referred to.
Cute.
Yeah.
You all had some troubles, didn't you?
Yeah, with the backdrop of the Troubles. But the show is absolutely hilarious and manages to do a lot of things really well. First of all, it's, as I mentioned, truly, truly hilarious. Like multiple laugh out loud moments per episode. And one of the things that I'm really impressed by is this show takes a very, very specific setting with extremely specific language and like turns of phrase and just a really kind of niche thing and makes it have this like universal appeal mm-hmm. and really kind of tell the story of these teens like living their lives. And yes, it's against this like backdrop of, you know, horrendous violence and uncertainty about your day-to-day life. And it doesn't really focus on that. It just shows, you know, when you're a teen, all you're focused on is being a teen. It doesn't matter if it's in Derry.
Yeah, I thought the show opens with them worrying about like how everyone's going to get to school and get to work because there's been a bombing on a bridge that's mm-hmm. like fucked up traffic throughout town. And I thought it was going to be more about living life under the threat of like extreme violence and like worrying about death, but then it really wasn't after that. Mm-hmm. It comes back to the Troubles throughout the series, but it's really, you know, this is just the life these kids know, and they're not going to not be teenagers because there's bomb threats here and there.
Yeah.
It's really, they're still, you know, worried about the prom and mm-hmm. boys and drugs.
The mom is worried about them getting to school because she can't have them at home anymore after
after and I mean it summer. Is sort of about like not just teen stuff, but like the adults have these like petty disputes mm-hmm. and like read a lot into someone who's like, you know, she borrowed a bowl and now this woman doesn't want her bowl back and like mm-hmm. what's that about?
Yeah, that's extraordinarily true.
Yeah.
Living in having grown up in Ireland, living in like our road was like that. Like mm-hmm. all of the families knew everything about everyone. Mm-hmm. Everybody kind of raised all the kids sort of communally.
DJ Cosmic Amanda commented on Twitter that she thought this was a documentary about your childhood. And I had the exact same feeling watching it. Like I felt like I was learning about you specifically.
Well, it really, that's one of the things that's amazing is like this show is just enjoyable on a level if you're not familiar at all with Ireland or Northern Ireland, but every single Irish person I know, just it is so spot on so many like tiny, tiny little details, like that thing about the big bowl. Like, mm-hmm. why wouldn't she want the big bowl back? It's a big, big conspiracy. Like, why doesn't she want the big bowl back? Is it because I kept it too long? Like, did she maybe have a row with somebody? She had a falling out with the person who gave her the big bowl, and now she can't bear to see the big bowl. There's a lot.
It goes all the way to the top.
There's a lot of that. There's, you know, on my street, it was always like, oh, run over to Alice's and borrow like a cup of sugar. And then it's like, you have to give back like an entire giant bag of sugar, you know, mm-hmm. like it's all very like about one
resentments and avoiding resentments and
one-upmanship. And as I said, you know, I think it's really interesting in Ireland, less so now. I mean, Ireland has always been a nation of immigrants, people like emigrating, but you know, these little villages and towns that people live their entire lives in and like generations of families live there, everybody knows everything mm-hmm. about everyone, like historically all the way back, like you know everything about their family. And there's something like, for me, I always found that like extraordinarily oppressive, but there's also something like really comforting in having this like very like, yeah, like kind of carefree, like you can be out all hours.
Right.
And, you know, everyone kind of knows who everyone is. And I remember so many times, like, you'd be walking somewhere and you'd stop and, like, somebody would stop and offer you a lift and you just, you know,
get in the car
because you knew it was like, you know, so and so around the corner.
That's what you're taught.
It's like, yeah, absolutely.
And if then a stranger tries bar, to get yeah. you into his car,
yeah,
definitely do it. And so, if anyone asks, say it's okay, he knows my dad.
Yeah, exactly. It was a big thing for me to unlearn here in the big city. I think they do a really great job at making this kind of like very, very specific, very niche thing hilarious mostly, but also like it just nails so much about like being I was a teen at that time.
Yeah.
Take That was my first concert. Take That was and always will be my first love.
How many gypsy encampments did you end up staying at by way in the course of getting to various Take That concerts?
It's so funny too, because so gypsies are a big thing. They would
travelers.
Yes, exactly. But so there would be an encampment and then they would come, like, they would go door to door basically, like, mm-hmm. asking for stuff. And it's this like tradition.
What are they asking for?
Food or whatever. Oh. It used to be that they'd, like, we call them tinkers because they used to like mend pots and stuff way back when.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really funny that is kind of this like frowned upon, like travelers and gypsies are definitely like frowned upon and kind of it's like a real class thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is also true that for most of my youth, everybody I knew went on like a caravan holiday, so like that was your vacation every year. So I don't know like what the cognitive dissonance with that was, but I just took the bus to Take That. There were no detours.
Okay.
One of the things about this show that makes it so hilarious is it's everyday situations that get amplified to ridiculous levels. Like everything gets completely blown out of like what would, you know, it's almost farcical the way like everything gets blown up with these teens. In the very first episode, they kill a nun, basically.
They did not kill a nun. She was 97.
Taken in her prime. Struck down in her prime. So much left to live for. But that's just the level of this show. Like, these everyday things just become these, like, insanely farcical and ultimately, like, truly just harmless, like, mischief-making that
right.
these kids are doing. Like, they're all getting in these situations.
Yeah, it's quite absurd, but it's hilarious.
Yeah,
even the beginning, like, the show opens with Erin, mm-hmm. her cousin Orla, mm-hmm. is reading aloud from her diary, and that ends with, like, they're all in detention. The nun confiscates her diary and just begins reading it herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, if you knew nuns, that's pretty true. Speaking of nuns, one of the funniest parts of the show for me is Sister Michael.
Yes.
Who's the, she's the head.
No fucks left to give.
Yeah. She's the headmistress mm-hmm. at their school, Our Lady of Immaculate Conception,
mm-hmm.
At their school. And she is truly hilarious and also, yeah, all out of fucks to give. She's
not going to miss her judo class for any of this
No, could not care less about anything. And there's a scene at one point where she has to sub in for a teacher. And she's like, which frankly makes me want to like claw my eyes out, but needs must or whatever. She's just, she has like had it with these kids. She is not here to coddle them. It's like very different way of being. And having been educated by nuns, there is definitely some truth to that.
Yeah. You wanted to be a nun, right?
I did want to be a nun, yeah.
You're still working on that?
Yeah, we'll get to it. I'm still working through the Stations of the Cross. Sister Michael is truly hilarious, and her eye rolls are iconic.
Yep.
Dare I say, iconic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, greatest actor of our generation. Should we deploy a greatest actor of our generation?
She's
14
definitely,
minutes.
Definitely. Far be it for me to deploy hashtag goals, but if there ever was a goal,
Yes.
It's Sister Michael.
Sister Michael just doesn't want to be bothered by anything. That's how she lives her life, which is extremely, extremely relatable.
And she openly hates, like, the school kiss ass, which is also very satisfying to watch.
Yeah. That kid, Jenny Joyce, her name is perfect, but that kid, there's a lot of scenes with her singing, and she has the exact terrible adolescent, like, vocal style. That
Like teenager who thinks she has a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
And really goes for it, and she does not.
Yeah, and it's also, it's very, like, very true that back in those days, nobody did your, like, American Idol run-on notes. You know, you just straightforwardly sang whatever you were singing. So, yeah, I really like that. But, so growing up as a teen in this same time period, was there anything specific that you related to, Jess?
It was all totally relatable. Like, yeah, just the sort of your absorption in trivialities and, you know, who's up and who's down. And, yeah, I think, as you said, it's totally relatable, even if you did not grow up specifically in Northern Ireland or in a conflict zone.
And there's a real, it's like a very warm show.
Yeah.
There's a real, real warmth at, like, the heart of all their friendships, at the heart of Aaron's home, which is kind of the, like, that's the home base for all the friends. That's, they're all in and out of the Quinn's house, and you see just like the interpersonal relationship between the adults in the show too are really well drawn and very like fleshed out. Mary is married to Jerry, who is a Southerner,
and they live in Derry. Wait, what? So Southerner means the Republic of Ireland.
The Republic.
Oh, okay. I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, who's a Southerner, much to Mary's dad's Colum's chagrin.
Joe.
Is it Joe? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
Colum's the boring uncle.
That's right. Colum's the boring uncle.
Okay, but I didn't pick up on that. I didn't know that's why Joe hated Jerry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, because he moved from the Republic.
You people.
And he just lives to give Jerry shit. That's his whole thing. Jerry, by the way, the most patient man in Ireland or any other country, like, possibly the world. Sits there and takes, like, heapings upon heapings of abuse from essentially everyone in the family. Like, Mary rules Jerry with an iron fist, although they obviously very clearly love each other. But there's one scene where Mary is looking for darks because she can't do a half.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
Goes against everything she stands for. She just can't bring herself to do it.
A half load of laundry.
Yeah, she can't do a half load of laundry, so he comes running in and he's like, I found some love, and it's like a pair of socks. And he's just so eager to please her, and it's it's really
that
sweet.
Was very relatable, like a mom who has rules about how the housekeeping gets done and what, like, efficiencies that she's found, and there is no breaking from them.
I can't go back. Definitely can't go back.
No.
But so the main four girls, there's Erin, who's daughter of the Quinns. Erin, who do you think you were as a teen?
Who was I? I don't want to say the Orla. I might have been Orla with
path.
Like Claire Rising.
Yeah.
Like definitely like I had this self-consciousness and of Claire. Wait, who's the lesbian?
Claire.
But like the incomprehensibleness of Orla, I think.
Yeah.
Who are you? Were you a Michelle?
No, I was not a Michelle. My sister was, and to this day remains a Michelle.
I have in my notes, someone's sister is named Mandy, and I was like, are all Irish sisters named Mandy?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a rule. Every Irish
it's
sister
an old Gaelic
is named
Mandy. Word for sister.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I like to think that, they're all sort of terrible involved teens in their own way, but I definitely think I had real shades of Erin, like thinking that you're kind of running the show and you're not. And
You think you know what's going on.
Yeah, and her story that she tells herself about herself is that she's like liberal and different and mm-hmm. like poetic and a writer, an artist. Yeah. And, you know, she's like setting herself apart from all these other people. Like she understands things on a level that they don't. And you see time and again throughout the show how she's like just shown to be like really sort of naive yeah. And not like Claire, her best friend, comes out to her as a lesbian and she's like, well, go back in. Like, she's immediately shocked, you know, and right. and not instantly accepting of it, you yeah. know. And then, of course, they all realize that there's cachet in having a gay in the group. So, you know, that all works out.
I did like their sort of calculating about who should be, who would give them more of, like, a worldliness.
Yeah.
They tried to recruit a girl that they thought was from China, who was just
from a different Donegal. Part. Yeah.
And then tried to kick James out of the group because they didn't need Poor him anymore. James. I love James.
Yeah.
Yeah. He does look like a ride.
The wee English fella.
I don't know how to use that expression.
No, that's, the yeah, he's a ride. Fella. Yeah.
Who, he was,
he's I Michelle's can't remember,
Michelle's cousin.
Cousin. Yeah.
Her aunt went to England to have an abortion.
And didn't have the never abortion. Had it. Yeah. Didn't have the abortion. And
it's that sort of story. Like, it's totally absurd that he would have, like, moved to Derry and been the first male in this all-girls academy. Mm-hmm. But it just, like, you just let that silliness wash yeah. over you. It's really funny.
Yeah, it just works. And
throughout the series, people, like, act like he's a girl.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That girl has a weird accent.
Yeah. Yeah, they just heap and... James is truly there just to have, like, abuse heaped on him mm-hmm. for being English. And it's a delight.
It's
as
a delight.
As a Republican, it's a delight to see the English be abused. but so Aaron is, yeah, that one. And then Michelle is chaotic neutral. I'm going to go ahead uh-huh. and call her. Like, Michelle is up for anything. Like, always, like, big ideas. Like, think she's... Again,
brings
like,
a suitcase full of vodka.
Yeah, yeah.
Again. And mixers, because she's not an animal.
Cider and mixer.
Oh, God.
So, yeah, and then there's Michelle, who's just, like, up for anything, and again, always, like, working some angle. Like, in Ireland, we call people like that, like, a chancer. She's just, like, uh-huh. a total, like, chancer, will do anything, you know, just to... get by. But again, it's all really, really harmless and sort of, I wouldn't say good natured, because she's pretty evil to James, but like, it's very
she treats him like a brother.
Yeah, but I mean, a brother that social services should be called in for, basically. So that's Michelle. And then there's Claire, the wee lesbian, who comes out, who is like the anxious one of the group, who's always kind of panicked and mm-hmm. And
hysterical.
I did you think that that changed slightly in season two after
Definitely.
She came out? Mm-hmm. I think that, not to read too much into Derry Girls, I don't think that it is a show that's crying out for like deep psychological evaluation of the characters, but I think little touches like that were important, where in season two, she sort of calms down. And I feel like that makes sense. Like, maybe your anxiety is a manifestation yeah. of this, like, huge secret that you've been keeping your whole life. And when she's able to, like, share that and open up a little bit, then, you know, like, your anxieties, you know, dissipate a little.
Right.
And then there's Orla, who's just on her own path, who's going to be...
she's
going to
go all the way.
To the top and step a rope.
That was so perfect, because I couldn't name something that's more of a limited time no than oh. step aerobics.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I did step aerobics yeah. around that time.
Yeah.
And yeah, exactly. Like, literally something that there's no ranking for. That's going to be her yeah. thing. She's going to go all the way in step aerobics.
And her mom is like, you're putting too much pressure on yourself. And yeah, Orla is that character who is just like away with the fairies, as we say. She's just like,
I love this. I can't wait to learn every Irish expression.
She is finally absolutely away with the fairies, and will also go on to have a happier life than 99% of people, as her mom Sarah, who lives with Mary and mm-hmm. Joe and Colum, or I keep saying Joe and Jerry. The whole family all kind of lives together, which yeah. is another thing.
And when she tried on that, like, ski outfit or coveralls or whatever when they were trying on prom yeah, dresses and said, I really can't pull off everything. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
The step aerobics paid off.
Oh, absolutely.
She keeps
yeah.
it tight.
Yeah, she's bit of a ride. But and then yeah, we
get I've never heard that expression until this show.
Oh really?
Yeah.
We do refer to everyone, male or female, as a ride if they're good looking.
Okay. Can use that.
Yeah. And that's Irish, not just Northern Irish. There's a lot that is specific to Northern Ireland, like referring to everything as we.
I was going to ask you about that, because that they really, like, everything is we, including, like, all the shop names are just, like, we shop.
Yeah.
Dennis's we shop.
Yeah.
Is that accurate?
Yes. Everything is huge in the North. It's huge.
We is huge.
Sweep in the nation.
Was Dennis the shop owner supposed to be IRA?
No, I don't think so. But okay. It was the little touches like that, too, that are so authentic, because... Mm-hmm. Your relationship with your corner shop guy in Ireland is like, and the same with the chipper, like, it's very, like, fraught.
Intimate.
Yeah, it is very intimate, but it's also, yeah, like, they are essentially the, like, priests for the neighborhood. Like, they know everything about everyone. Like, I would go to our corner's shop, Malone's, R.I.P. Shaw Malone. Oh. I would go to our corner shop with, God rest his soul, with a note from my mother to buy cigarettes and like no money, just like a note from my mother to buy cigarettes and like the paper. And yeah, like we'd go get the messages. It was all very.
What's your order at the Chippy?
Oh, battered sausage and yeah, just a bunch of stuff. That's the other thing. Like it's very, yeah, you have to get like a wide range. And our chipper was called Donkey Ford's.
And Donkey Ford's.
Donkey Ford's.
You're making this
up. No, Donkey Ford's. And it's like nationally known as maybe the best chipper in Ireland. And yeah, that would be like every Friday night you would go to the chipper and just have like a big order stuff. Like they're going back and forth with like, do you think four orders of chips will be enough? It's not enough, get five. Yeah. And like you just have just a giant mound of food, like fried food. And it was so funny to me that that was the first meltdown that James had, was like he didn't like it, and you know they that was blasphemy.
Yeah,
basically like you're gonna get thrown out the chipper. And like
I get the sense that the Irish diet is all like the chipper and candy and cookies.
Yeah, it's very, very starchy, I would say. That was another note that really, really rang true, like the Christmas cupboard, when the kids got into it, and then Mary was like, I'll have to start from scratch. And Jerry was like, you've ate once. Love.
Christmas is around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never get it back. Because, yeah, that is a very, very true Irish thing, where every house had, like, the biscuits that you were allowed to eat, and then the biscuits for the good biscuits for visitors, like the fancy biscuits. And then the same, the Christmas press was like a level up from that, because, you know, you had to have like the really good stuff because everyone would be coming to call at Christmas. So, yeah, it's weird. But they did really, really, really well with like a ton of those small little details that just really expressed like very specifically that time in Ireland and being a teen. They did touch on the Troubles a few times during the show.
It definitely came up. Like politics, like they wove that in, like when the family's watching TV, like they would learn about like, what's going on.
John's mad for peace, isn't he? I really hope it works out for him. And they were like, yeah, I really hope it works out for all of us there. Yeah, the first season ended really touchingly, I thought. It was very effective.
Oh, first time, unexpected crying.
Yeah, the first time I saw it, I didn't cry. And then I was rewatching it recently, and I absolutely, like, was definitely crying. It ends with the family at home watching the news of a bombing unfolding. And the kids are at school at the talent show just, like, messing around on the stage, but just the way it was shot and like the imagery was really kind of evocative and like very touching. And it was just like there are these moments, you know, you deal with the everyday, like there's a threat of this, or your bags are always getting searched, or like buses are getting detoured and they have to take the long way around to school and all that, like you deal with that. But then occasionally, like the very like true reality of living in a, you know, troubled living somewhere with like a real, real threat of violence and like actual high stakes, you know, just has got to hate you every now and then.
Yeah. I also liked, this is kind of boring to say, but because of the time period, I feel like TV shows a lot now have to deal with the fact that you can know everything instantly. Yeah. And they, in 93 or whenever this is supposed to be, you're very dependent on actually watching the news on TV.
Yeah.
So they're what, like that separation of the kids just fucking around at the talent show and sort of like coming together after having had a petty falling out and the parents learning about the bombing on television, mm-hmm. like those would not be separate today. Like everyone would get push notifications on their phone and know immediately what's happening. But they had this moment of innocence where they don't find out until, you know, later.
Yeah.
It's like there's something pure about that.
Yeah. And I thought it was actually a really beautiful bookend with in season two, mm-hmm. they do have a ceasefire. And again, you see the kids are at a dance at the school and there's been this carry incident, long story, with the Chinese girl from Donegal who's a psychopath.
Blood thrown on her at the prom.
Tomato sauce. Yeah, you see the parents learning that there's been the ceasefire and you see everybody taking to the streets, like going out with your tray of tea.
Yeah.
Like, taking your tray of tea out to the streets. And then you see the kids at school like totally beating each other up.
Yes.
Like about
covered
this.
In blood.
Yeah, covered in blood and like beating. And it's like a perfect shot too, because James is literally standing in the middle of these four girls fighting and he's just standing there, you know, as the British do.
Right.
Like, I'm not involved, even though you set the whole thing in motion. anyway, I really, really hated the wee English fella. No, I also liked his like journey. The most shocking season of Derry Girls yet. But I liked how he
became a Derry Girl.
Yeah, he became a Derry Girl at the end. And it's like, we're all Derry Girls, James. And I also found that incredibly touching. So Bill Clinton,
I cried at that too,
comes to Derry and he's giving this speech about how so James was going to go back to London to be with his mom. And you see the four girls like at the front for this like historic moment. Mm-hmm. And then
I really wanted to warn those girls away from Bill Clinton.
Right. And then they turn around.
Don't get in that stranger's car.
Yeah. And then they turn around because James is like at the wall yelling at them like, I'm a Derry Girl. Mm-hmm. And they all leave and run out and like hug. And the last scene is them walking away and Bill Clinton is talking about, you know, I look out and I see like a peaceful, hopeful mm-hmm. place or whatever. And it's like, that's what it's always been to them. Like, this is like this. It, again, it's kind of like that juxtaposition between like the real insularity of like this small town feeling, like this little almost village that's on like the cusp of this big historic thing, you know. And again, like, you're only concerned with being a teen, like you don't have any context for that or any, like, nobody knew what the changes would be because that's just always been their life. And
I thought that moment was especially well done because it did end on this kind of a very hopeful note, both, you know, for the political future mm-hmm. and these kids coming back together. And but instead, so then it fades to the credits and it went to black, no music over the credits.
Yeah.
And the show was like full of music from the early 90s, and I thought they made a choice not to put some like hopeful mm-hmm. uplifting Cranberries song over that moment, because it wasn't the end of violence in Northern Ireland. So it was like, I liked that sort of dark side to the happy ending.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's just a million things that they did really, really well. And as you said, like, for not understanding so much of it, like, they do really well with giving context that makes mm-hmm. things make sense and
relatable.
It's...
We didn't have a Christmas cupboard, but I get the idea of having the nice cookies for the guests.
Biscuits.
The things you're not allowed to touch.
Yeah. Biscuits. They're
sure.
Biscuits.
Sorry.
And then let's talk about Uncle Colm, who is the true breakout star, greatest actor of a generation.
So I says to him, says I.
I says, Cullum, it's no day for a do. Like, he tells every story in this, like, very painful, very slow way. And it is truly hilarious. We're going to go to a song, and then when we come back, we will talk some more about Dairy Girls. If you guys have anything to say about Dairy Girls, let's be having ye. we'd love to hear from you on Twitter. We are at BFF TV on the radio, and we'd love to hear your thoughts.
Any questions about Irish expressions for Leah? This can be another installment of Ask an Irish.
Ask an Irish. Yes, absolutely. I'm here for all your question needs. All right. We'll be back after this.
My heart is so low, as only a woman's heart can be, as only a woman's, as only a woman's, as only a woman's heart can know. The tears that drip from my bewildered eyes, taste of bittersweet romance. You're still in my hopes, you're still on my mind, oh. And even though I manage on my own, my heart is low, my heart is so low, as only a woman's heart can be, as only a woman's, as only a woman's, as only a woman's heart can know. Restless eyes feel my troubled soul, and memories flood my weary heart. I mourn for my dreams, I mourn for my wasted love, and while I know that I'll survive alone, the heart is low, my heart is so low, as only a woman's heart can be, as only a woman, as only a woman, as only a woman's heart can know. My heart is low, my heart is so low, as only a woman's heart can be. As only a woman's.
Community, community,
community radio.
Community, community,
community radio.
Community, community,
community radio.
Community radio for the San Francisco music scene.
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.
All right, we are back talking more Dairy Girls. That was Mary Black and Eleanor McAvoy from A Woman's Heart.
It's beautiful. Which,
well, so that album...
I saw a dove fly across the studio.
When that album was released, there was kind of a collective, like, madness about that album. Literally, like, every house in Ireland had a copy. I was telling you during the break that we had a copy in the car as well as a tape in our house in case we ever were, you know, in a situation where we immediately needed to get sure. to A Woman's Heart. But it's a very, very... It's a beautiful album. I still have a CD of it here, which was mailed
in
to me
bag?
After I moved to America. It was issued a customs to everyone who left Ireland. A sort of like national madness swept the country, and huh. everybody had a copy of that album, and everyone, it started off where everyone was like, oh, it's a bit too, like, trying a bit too hard, like, striving for the real, like, I'm Irish, you know, but
right.
Very effective. Absolutely a banger every song.
Speaking of bangers, you mentioned in your outline the whole sensation of choreographed dances.
Yes.
Which, in America, we have a little bit of that. Maybe just YMCA. Other than that, maybe like a conga line. I don't know if that counts.
Yeah. But
There's a whole thing to rock the boat, apparently.
There is a whole thing to rock the boat.
Do you know the dance? Could you do it today?
I don't. I mean, yeah.
You kind of get swept up.
Yeah, exactly. If I got in boat formation with some other people, absolutely, I would remember rock the boat. But, yeah, it's, I don't know why. It's because none of us can dance, I suppose. That's why, like, Irish people do a lot of
power in numbers.
Irish people do a lot of choreographed. Like, line dancing was huge in Ireland when it came out because, yeah, we'd love to have an instruction, you know?
Wild.
But, yeah, Rock the Boat is a thing. I think it's illegal to get married without playing Rock the Boat at your wedding. And everyone gets down on the floor. We, for my Debs, which is the equivalent to a prom, like, we did Rock the Boat in formal wear. We also did the Macarena.
Which,
again, was very of a moment. But, yeah, it's a whole thing. And I think it's very tied to, like, events. And I don't know what, I don't know why Rock the Boat became the jam, but it did. It's a delight, and it's used in,
again, a stronger sense of community among the Irish than other cultures.
Well, it's used in one of the funniest episodes, the scone episode, where Mary hexes her aunt and she drops dead. That episode starts with one of the funniest shots I've ever seen of Sarah.
Oh, yeah.
The ditzy aunt walking down the aisle.
Yeah.
In this white gown and, like,
and you think it's her wedding.
And you think it's her wedding. And then she gets into the pew and says, she's like, couldn't get a taxi. And the bride comes directly behind her. And that entire episode just gets more and more hilarious from there. There's a lot of talk about Mary's hats. Irish people love a wedding, and we love to get, like, done up to the nines, fascinators included.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot of talk about Mary's hat and Sarah, again, just being, like, completely clueless. I love that Sarah is the one character that talks about nothing but people's physical appearance. Mm-hmm. Like, her own physical appearance. Like, she's talking about how there's no photographic proof of, like, when her clavicles... she had cracking clavicles because she lost too much weight. Like, yes. There's no photographic proof of it now because Jerry lost the wee docket.
The wee docket.
Couldn't get the pictures back. And again, that also rang true. The guy in the photo place, like, being very, like, I need the docket, you know, and, like, absolutely sticking to it because it's the only semblance of power that poor guy has in his life is, like, he's like, I'm in that picture. Like, that's me.
And his father-in-law giving him no assist.
Backing
him up on his identity.
But the episode devolves from there to them doing Rock the Boat at the wedding. And Mary hexing her evil aunt and telling her to drop dead, which she proceeds to do. And then
everyone being afraid of Mary for the rest of the
episode. Yeah, everyone being afraid of Mary for the rest of the episode. And then James's first experience at a wake where he's like, can everyone see the dead body? And in Ireland, it is still less so than it used to be, but still relatively common to wake people in the house. So you would have the body in the house and everybody comes, and seeing Jerry get, like, beaten into that assembly line for making sandwiches, like, at the wake too was awesome. Like, just things like that are just
cut the cheese and onion into triangles, the other ones into squares, and the tuna you can freestyle.
I'd get to buttering. And sister,
and rising to the occasion.
Oh, absolutely. And Sister Michael getting stuck talking to Colm after.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
Am I in hell?
Yeah. Is this my wake? and then at the end of the story saying, huh, that's actually quite funny. With her just deadpan, like absolutely deadpan delivery was hilarious. And then there's a very, very drawn out scene where they're trying to get rid of these
drug scones
because they didn't have a recipe for brownies, so so Michelle had to
I thought she had cocaine, and then it ended up in baked goods.
Yeah,
so I guess it was hash.
It was hash. And
it's like, can you make cocaine brownies? And then that'd be a real thing.
And then James, this is how you get rid of drugs. I saw this fella three times, and they back
He's
up.
A real cinephile.
Yeah,
seen Carrie, seen Goodfellas.
And they back up the toilet, and Orla delivers one of her funniest lines the whole time when she asked, does anyone have a plunger? And Aaron said, no, surprisingly, I didn't. I left my plunger at home for the wake. And then Orla says, like, me too. Nightmare. Like, just, yeah, it's just, it's truly hilarious. I also absolutely loved the episode with the Protestants where they were, like, hands across borders or whatever, where they went to have a meeting with an all-boys Protestant school, and they were talking about how, like, Protestants aren't as uptight about sex, like, they've really put in the hours, like, they have a lot more moves than the Catholics, and, like, then you see them just be completely inappropriate with these Protestant boys, and Sister Michael saying, there aren't enough Protestants, you'll have to share, and and seeing her counterpart at the all-boys school, too, and the priest.
Yeah, I thought it did a great job. Oh, the priest was handsome. Illustrating how these kids are, it's part of their lives that they live, they're born into this conflict, but it's ultimately, I mean, I, as someone who doesn't know much about Irish history, it is a little bit confusing why these people are, what the big beef is about. And it's sort of lost on the kids too. They identify, you know, with it because they, it's a cultural thing they were raised with, but they, like, they couldn't articulate what the conflict is about, I don't think.
No, and the wee Chernobyl children who were sent to Belfast had to point out, like, but you're both the same religion, you're just, like, different varieties of it. Yeah. And yeah, it's true. I mean, it's very complicated. Again, let me say, the Irish pastime is not hospitality, it's begrudgery.
Right.
Okay, we love to hold a fucking grudge. So it makes sense, really, how the troubles would escalate and nobody really knows why anymore.
Yeah, but, totally. Yeah. I could see that. A little bit of culture playing into that.
Yeah.
You have a blood feud with someone that goes back hundreds of years. You don't ask why, millennia. You just know it's true.
Yeah, absolutely. But that scene... there's, like, a visual gag where they're writing down differences and similarities between Protestants. And
LOL.
The entire blackboard gets filled up with differences. And it's like, Catholics really buzz off statues. And then Sister Michael, I do love a good statue. It's true. And her keeping the Child of Prague, just ridiculous. Yeah. I fear it's been a wasted trip. I've grown quite fond of the little fella. But yeah, there's just so much that's truly hilarious, and they do a great job with giving context for people who wouldn't understand it. And it's, yeah, just really, really enjoyable. You should all be watching Derry Girls multiple times if you haven't.
I think it's so funny. Like, the jokes are so packed in. It really, I could watch it again right now.
Yeah, and it's so well written. That's the other thing. I feel like we talk about this every week where we're like, oh, it's just great. They, like, pack so much into this very condensed thing. But this show has insane, like, levels of humor, and it's got, like, real empathy for its subject matter, and it's, like, very warm and affectionate. Yeah. And it just, yeah, it does a lot. Like, you're immediately dropped into this family where you get a very, very, like, clear sense through just their little brief interactions about, like, how fond of each other they are. Like, they genuinely, I love the part where they were talking about going to Paris which Sister Michael couldn't go on this trip, unfortunately, because she hates the French. But where they were talking about going to Paris, and Jenny Joy says, just dip into your trust fund.
Right.
And they were like, I did not know about this trust fund. Yeah. And then they all go home and ask their parents. And you see them meet up the next day and say, well, I don't have a trust fund. And as a matter of fact, I think we might be quite poor. it's same. And yeah, just like the warmth. I love to the caravan where they're getting out of town for the Orange Man March.
Right. Have you ever witnessed an Orange Man March?
I have not.
Is that a thing that happens the South?
It happens every... No, not really. It's so. Just in the North. But
it's really dickish.
It leads... Yeah, like a week-long thing and culminates on like June 12th. And again, it's like you're celebrating William of Orange, you guys. Come on. Like the Orange Order. It's just, yeah, people in search of a personality. But yeah, so they're getting out of town for that, and it ends up that like everyone's like, can you take my kids too? Like, right. I can't, you know, and that was a very, very true experience for me growing up, like, was always going on holidays to somebody's like camper caravan and like fitting 18 people really? In the caravan and like the kids just running wild and like just that's very, very true. But caravan holidays were a big thing. Now everyone's going to like Spain and Malaga.
Ooh.
It's far from that. You were rare, lads. But but speaking about all the little phrases and things that Dairy Girls educated you on, are there any that you'll be adopting?
I don't think so. I think my mouth is physically incapable of saying most of those words. I do like calling people rides, but I'm still not quite sure how to use it correctly in a sentence, but I'll work on that.
Yeah. Jason Momoa was a ride.
Okay, great. That's simple enough for me. Did it resurrect anything that you had left behind in Ireland that you're going to start saying, bringing to the U.S.?
Yeah, I'm definitely... I used to use Uncle Colum's sentence structure quite a bit.
Oh, really?
So now I'm going to narrate all my stories. So I says to him, says I. He tied me to the radiator with my own shoelaces. I says, Colum, it's no day for ado. I don't know. I'm constantly struck too by, I feel both English and Irish people sort of have like a lyricism to their speech that is, it's kind of, I guess, it's not really unique, I guess. Like, you have really expressive turns of phrase in like the South and things like that too, but
just not here in California.
But it is like super, super charming to hear people throw in these like needs must and things like that, just like very brusque and, you know, like to the point. Like, it's a real shorthand for everyone. You can just convey something really, really quickly in this like colloquial way that's also kind of poetic.
Yeah
I'm into it.
Grand.
Yeah, grand. So we will, sure. What else do we have to add about Dairy Girls?
Did you get to put your own spin on your school uniform?
Oh yeah, we played a lot with lengths on yes, I played a lot with volume and lengths. What was I gonna say about the it was very, very mandated, so you couldn't really do too much to add much
to wear
it.
A denim jacket.
So that's why you had to like, we had it like super long, like we made the skirt super long or then super short, you know. Stuff like that. You definitely try to figure it out. I have received a text.
How wonderful.
I've received a text from my boss, actually, who's listening to the show. Who I turned he and his wife on to Dairy Girls, and they're both big fans, as anyone who watches the show will be.
Hi, Dr. Pasquinelli.
He said, Orla is like Napoleon Dynamite, which am not familiar enough with Napoleon Dynamite to know, but sure, I can absolutely take that read. Orla's just on her own path, and she'll be totally fine. And he said Michelle falling for James in the last episode and just, you know, like being nice to him and saying, yes. you know, like, you're a Dairy Girl now, James, you can't leave. And
yeah, just I think abuse very is Michelle's love language.
Absolutely. That's yeah. all Irish people's love language. Yes. We talked last week about This Way Up with mm-hmm. Aisling Bea, and I was telling you about her stand-up where she said, you know, I get asked all the time, how can I tell if this Irish person likes me or is just genuinely being abusive? And she said, you can't, which is true. Yeah, absolutely. Profanity and abuse are our love languages, so.
Taking the piss.
Yeah, absolutely. When an Irish person takes the piss, that means they really like you.
Or?
Not always. Sometimes they're just taking the piss, but... But yes, I feel like we should all strive to be more like Sister Michael. That's the true goal of Dairy Girls. And also, Mary Quinn is a real hero for the ages. I loved her fascination with The Usual Suspects. No, Mary.
Oh, Mary.
The mom.
Oh, God. The whole thing about The Usual Suspects. So that, there was
I can't sleep.
A bomb threat, right? And they had to evacuate the movie theater. So yeah. no one, they like spent the rest of the episode speculating on how The Usual Suspects ends. And it was very funny.
Yeah, and I love.
And then is that the one where the kids
decapitate the Child of Prague?
Oh, okay, yeah. And it ends with them being photographed.
I don't remember
what the background was. It wasn't like
it was a
lineup.
A blackboard, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like a lineup and it ended with them a shot that looked like The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, them being very photographed. Funny. But yeah, I love to, like, Sister Michael tells the mother the end and she's like, oh, that's very good. Like, just that's like, you just need to know and then you're fine.
Right.
Like, you're done with it. Like, oh, that's very good. then you're done. It's yeah, it is a true delight. Yeah. I have rewatched Dairy Girls once already and I feel like it's gonna be one of those shows that's a very easy go to.
Yeah. You said it's coming back for another season, right?
It is coming back for another season. Great. So yet another season that I'm going to have to endure where it airs on Ireland and I get like multiple messages from friends about what's happening in Dairy Girls or like this season's even better than the last. But I do think it's very well written. It's like very well done. It's got a lot of heart and it has a lot of empathy for these characters and the situations. And it's also completely farcical and hilarious and rang very true to life. Also, all the music.
Oh, yeah. Great soundtrack.
Absolutely.
There were Cranberry like, songs in there that I'd forgotten about.
Yeah. So, again, second week in a row that Zombie has been used to emotional effect. Last week, we talked about This Way Up, where Aisling Bea and Sharon Horgan did a rousing rendition of Zombie at a birthday party. And then this week, it was played sort of quietly under the
blood
peace
scene,
process.
Right?
No, it was like the blood scene, but also like juxtaposed with the ceasefire.
And
who knew the emotional impact the Cranberries would leave for all of us. God rest her soul.
God rest her soul. Saroon.
Taken too soon.
Yeah.
She actually was taken too soon. Yeah. Not cut down the prime of her life at 97. But thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back next week with more TV on the radio. Please do keep it on BFF.fm all day for all of your local community radio needs. Indie Rock Girl Radio is coming up next, and we will be back next week with more TV on the radio. Thanks for listening. Go watch Dairy Girls. It's all available on Netflix right now. And we'll see you guys next week.
So I'd like to know when you got the notion. Said I'd like to know when you got the notion to rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
I don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
I don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Since our voyage of love began, your touch has thrilled me like the rush of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean.
the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Up to now we sailed through every storm, and I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can't see me.